yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alihi washabika ya Habiballah. Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabi Allah wa ala alihi washabika ya Nurallah. Viewers of Madrid Channel, welcome to this special series of programs Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And in this program we delve into our rich heritage. Yes, the rich heritage that the Muslims have. The rich heritage that the Muslims have forgotten about in many, many cases. But yes, we do have a rich heritage. And the purpose of this program is to delve into our rich heritage, to look at our past, look at what we can learn from the past, learn something from yesterday so that we can make a change today, so that we can have a better tomorrow. But before we begin, like every program, we'd like to give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam is reported to have said that the one who recites Salat upon me 100 times on Friday and the night of Friday, Allah Azza wa Jalla will fulfill 100 of his needs. Yes, 100 of his needs are fulfilled. If you send salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the blessed day of Friday and the blessed night of Friday. And like I said before, I've said it many, many times before, the night starts at sunset. So Thursday night, sunset, Friday night will start. And after sunrise, Friday day will start. And Islamically, the day begins at sunset and ends at sunset as well. So try every week on the day of Friday, recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 100 times, but at the rest of the year as well. Make it part of your daily routine. Whatever you're going to work, on your way to work, whatever you're doing, recite Durood-e Pak, send salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and reap the rewards. And like I've said many, many times before, who knows, that one extra Durood-e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the day of judgment. But Islam brothers and viewers of Madrid Channel, today we want to talk about some of the sacrifices that have been made by our pious predecessors. And, you know, when we're talking about these pious predecessors and the sacrifices that they have made, I know many of you will say, well, we can't do that. We can't make that sacrifice. We cannot achieve that level. And you're right. You know, we can never, ever compare ourselves to the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I think it'd be almost virtually impossible to compare ourselves to our pious predecessors. But at least they can be our role models. At least they can be looked up to as people that these are the people we need to try and be like. Try and follow in their footsteps. Try and learn something from their lives. Try and have the passion that they had. Try to make some of the sacrifices that they made. And yes, when I give you the examples today, many of us are going to say, well, I can't do that. I can't do that. Okay, I understand that. But at the same time, ask yourself, what sacrifices are we willing to make? I'm going to begin by giving you an event that took place. One day, the minister of Khalifa Harun Rashid, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Musharraf, Ramatullah Ta'ala, it was in his time, and he was sitting before Harun Rashid, and he asked him, O the Khalifa of the Muslims, if someone requests you to return him his slave who has come to you after running away from him, so will you return his slave? So if a slave has come to you, it's run away from his master, will you return his slave? Harun Rashid said, yes, he would return the slave. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Musharraf, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, has said, I am also the slave of Allah, Allahu Akbar, who has come after running away from his real master. Please leave me so that I can go back to him again. Allahu Akbar. Having heard this, the Khalifa Harun al-Rashid and all the people present there wept. And then the Khalif said to him, he has achieved salvation amongst us, whereas we are sitting here only looking at him. Having said this, Khalifa Harun al-Rashid gave him permission to leave. After listening to the permission, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Musharraf, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he stood up, he tied the ihram, and he began to recite, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik. And he went towards the Blessed Haram, Allahu Akbar. On the way, he met Sayyidina Sufyan Sauri, Rahmatullah Ta'ala. And he saw that he was sleeping on the floor. Dust was settling on his face. Sayyidina Sufyan Thawri, rahmatullah ta'ala, greeted him, said salam to him, and asked, "O Abdullah, what has Allah given you for giving up everything? You've given up your position in the court of the Khalifa Harun al-Rashid. You were a minister there. You've given up all of that for the sake of Allah. What has Allah given you?" He replied, "Allahu Akbar. O Sufyan, in return for sacrificing the ministry and other possessions, Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed me with His pleasure, which I am experiencing right now. When the great Islamic scholars of the sacred Hamad learned that the pious minister had arrived, they came and greeted him. After seeing his weakness and discovered body, they asked, 'How did you endure the troubles of the journey in the plain which has no shade and no water?'" So he made this journey. There was no shade, no water. He was covered in dust. "How did you endure this journey?" He replied, How does the criminal slave whose heart is taken to the door of his master come to the court of his master? If I had the power, I would have walked on my head and come here." Allah Akbar. Saying this, he started weeping. And when he was asked as to why he was weeping, he said, "I have sent my helper before me. Perhaps his intercession will be accepted." When he saw the blessed Baytullah, Allahu Akbar, he raised a loud cry and departed from this dunya. He passed away. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Marjan, again, you will say that this is an extreme example. But if you read the lives of our pious predecessors, every single one of them made sacrifices. I cannot think of any that come to my mind that had life of luxury. It was all about sacrifice, sacrificing themselves for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And as a result of sacrificing themselves, as a result of making these sacrifices, you know, we are here today. The sacrifices that have been made by our pious predecessors is why we're sitting here today, is why we have this Madani Channel studio, is why I'm sitting here in front of you. As a Muslim, I can proudly say that I'm a Muslim. Why? Because of the sacrifices that my pious predecessors made. Now, I'm not saying to you that leave your jobs, leave everything and stay in the way of Allah, but we need to look at ourselves. Look at ourselves and say to us, okay, that's fair enough, but what sacrifices am I willing to make? What sacrifices can I make? Or am I just going to live in this dunya all my life and just keep on running after money? And you know, when you run after money, you'll never catch it. You'll never catch up with that money. Those that run after dunya, they never catch it. But those people that run after the akhirah, the dunya catches up with them. The dunya chases them. The dunya realizes that this person is going away from me and will do everything to pull him back. Whereas the person that's running after the dunya, they think, well, okay, keep running. Keep running after me. Because if you keep on running after me, you're not going to achieve your purpose in life. And I've said it many times before, there is nothing wrong in having money. There's nothing wrong in working hard. There's nothing wrong in becoming a millionaire, a billionaire. What is wrong is if, as a result of you making that your goal in your life, in a result of you having to work hard to make that money, you've negated your obligatory acts. You've gone away from your fard, you've gone away from your salah, you've gone away from your fasting. Hajj is fard upon you and you don't perform that. If it is a result of that, then that money is not beneficial to you. But if as a result of that money, it enables you to have the nutrition that you need, to the strength that you need to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, it enables you to spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it enables you to go and perform the Hajj, which is fard upon you, it enables you to visit the blessed city of Medina as often as you can, then that wealth without a doubt is beneficial for you. So it depends on how you've lived your life, what sacrifices you've made. And if we see in the life of all of our predecessors that they made sacrifices, and that's something that, again, we need to question ourselves. Where do we stand in all of this? I'm going to give you another event that took place. In the age of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, his son Sayyidina Habil, he adopted piety for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he first presented his possession, a goat, for sacrifice. And then he sacrificed his own life. Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned this in Surah Maidah, part 6. And commentators have mentioned this in detail. And I want to give you some of the detail around this event. Again, I feel that when it comes to the lives of our prophets, the lives of our pious predecessors, we know very, very little as well. It is stated that Habil and Qabil were both the sons of Sayyidina Adam al-Islam. It is said that the first person who committed murder on the earth is Qabil, and the first person who was murdered was Habil. It happened like this, that Sayyidina Hawa radiallahu ta'ala would give birth to twins every time. She would give birth to twins every time, one baby boy and the other a baby girl. The boy of one progeny was married to the girl of the other progeny. So she had a boy and a girl, and then she would later on have another boy and a girl. And at that time, these were clusters, brothers and sisters, and these were clusters, brothers and sisters. So the brother couldn't marry this sister, and the brother couldn't marry this sister, but the brother could marry this sister, and the sister could marry this brother. And what happened was, following this tradition, Sayyidina Alayhi al-Islam wanted to marry Qabil with Liuza, who was born with Habil. But Qabil expressed his discontent over the decision because Aklima was more beautiful, and that's why he desired to get her. Sayyidina Adam al-Islam tried to explain that Aklima was born with him, therefore she was his sister and he cannot marry him. But Qabil, he remained disobedient. Finally, Sayyidina Adam al-Islam ordered them to make their sacrifices in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the one whose sacrifice is accepted will deserve Aklima. In those days, it is stated that the sign of a sacrifice being accepted was that a fire from the sky would come down and actually engulf the sacrifice. So whatever you would put down to sacrifice in the court of Allah, a fire would come down and engulf it. Qabil offered some grains of wheat, and Habil radiallahu ta'ala offered a goat for sacrifice. The heavenly fire engulfed the sacrifice of Habil and left the wheat grains of Qabil. At this, Qabil bore more malice and felt jealousy of Habil and intended to murder Sayyidina Habil radiallahu ta'ala. He threatened Habil that he would kill him. Sayyidina Habil said to Qabil, acceptance of sacrifice is from Allah, and he accepts the sacrifice of only pious and sincere people. He further said, if you had been pious, your sacrifice would have been accepted. Again, we learn things from here. From this above mentioned Quranic event, it has been understood that offering sacrifices in the way of Allah was initiated in the blessed age of Sayyidina Adam al-Islam. At that time, offering sacrifices was at that time. And so now we continue to offer these sacrifices. And the blessed Anbiya, the blessed companions, the blessed pious predecessors all continue with this. And they did this. They offered these sacrifices for one reason. Only for the pleasure of Allah. Only for the pleasure of Allah. And when it comes to the sacrifices that we heard earlier on and the sacrifices that were made now, these were all made. Why? For the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We're going to go to a small break now. We've got the first package of the day. Inshallah, when we come back, we'll continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
We get sad if we haven't saved enough money from our paycheck. We get sad if we don't see our bank account in millions, rather billions. But our pious predecessors would get sad if they accumulated wealth. Sayyidina Sauda bint Auf radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that one day I went to Sayyidina Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu and found him that he was sad. I asked him the reason for it. He said, I have accumulated wealth and that is the reason I am sad. Allahu Akbar. We get sad if we don't have wealth. But look at our pious predecessors. They get sad when they accumulate wealth. Sayyidina Sauda bint Auf radiallahu ta'ala anha said, why are you sad? Distribute it amongst the people of your nation. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent one of his servants to call the people of his nation. They all came and he distributed his wealth. When it was asked how much wealth he had, it was told it was 400,000 dirhams. 400,000 dirhams at that time could be worth millions. If we have a million in our bank account, we do not want to give it to anyone. We do not want to spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But look at the generosity of our pious predecessors, that they would spend their entire wealth in the path of Allah azza wa jalla.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And today we're talking about the sacrifices that have been made by our pious predecessors. And we see in some cases that the ultimate sacrifice was made. And I'm going to explain to you. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarar radiallahu ta'ala stated that he humbly asked the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will be tormented the most on the day of judgment? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, the one who murdered a Nabi or murdered the one who enjoyed to do good and prevented from evil. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam then recited the following ayah, and I give you the translation from Qanzul Iman. Those who disbelieve in the signs of Allah and unjustly assassinate the Anbiya and slay people who order justice, so give them the tiding of a painful punishment. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Mother Channel, from this ayat we can see that many blessed Anbiya sacrificed their lives in the right path. They sacrificed their lives in the path of Allah. And again, that is the ultimate sacrifice. And I think every time I think and I hear about the sacrifices that were made by our pious predecessors, traveling the way of Allah, leaving their homes with the knowledge that they would never come back, spending in the way of Allah, going into battles, knowing that there was a great chance that they would lose their lives, losing their lives. All these sacrifices that they made, and as a result of those sacrifices, number one, I believe that Allah Azawajal is happy with all of them. And number two, because of them sacrifices, and I keep, every time I hear about this, I think about it, that we are here because of that. We are here because of them sacrifices that were made before us. What sacrifices do we make? We see that people travel in the way of Allah and never come back. When Ghawsi Pak left his home in Jilan and he went to Baghdad to acquire the knowledge of the deen, his mother said, "Farewell, my son. Farewell, my son. We will meet on the Day of Judgment." She knew that her son was leaving. Her son was leaving in the path of Allah, and she said that we will meet on the Day of Judgment, which she knew she would never meet him again. And if you also study that story, you understand that before he left home, his mother sewed 40 gold dinars into his jacket. And if you understand where the 40 gold dinars came from, the 40 gold dinars came from his inheritance. His father had passed away. So the mother was sending his son, there was two sons. Mother was sending one of her sons away. She didn't have a husband there, she had two sons. And she sent one of her sons away with the knowledge that he will never come back. The sacrifice of the mother as well, and the sacrifice of Ghawsi Pak. Nowadays, going to the weekly ishtama for a couple of hours, oof, I ain't got time for that. You know, I'll be tired in the morning if I go to the ishtama. And you know, I won't be able to get up in the morning for work if I go to the ishtama. You know, when you go to someone's house for a dawat, you know, you go to someone's house to eat food, and you're there for 3-4 hours, and it gets 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, no problem whatsoever. But going to ishtama and coming home at 10 o'clock, oh, too late. And then we have the other shaitana whisper, oh, you know, you say you take 1.5 hours, but you know, you sometimes go on 10 minutes longer, you sometimes go on 15 minutes longer. You know, them same people when they're watching a sports event, be it whatever it is, and there's extra time, or in the case of football, there's penalties up, they don't say, oh, no, what's going on here? You've taken longer than I wanted, and switch the TV off. They don't say to them, oh, this game was only supposed to be 1.5 hours long, why is there extra time? No, I'm going to bed now. They stay there. So why is it that we can't even make that sacrifice? Why is it we cannot even make the sacrifice of getting up in the morning for Salatul Fajr? Allahu Akbar. If we can't make, I'm conscious of the fact saying the word sacrifice, if we can't even make that amount of sacrifice, we cannot get out of the bed 15, 20 minutes earlier than we would normally get out of bed to read Salatul Fajr, then what hope is there for us? I mean, all the youngsters that are out there, that are baligh, that go to school, college and university, at this time of the year when you get up and go to school, college and university, get up 15 minutes earlier, 20 minutes earlier and read Salatul Fajr. What is our excuse? You know, and this is exactly what it is, it's an excuse. And you know, you realize that, you know, where are we going wrong? That we can't even sacrifice 15 minutes, half an hour of sleep. All right, let's say, for example, at this time of the year, I would say it's easy, but let's say it's even at 3 o'clock in the morning, Fajr. Can you not sacrifice a half hour of your sleep? A half hour of your sleep to get up, read Salatul Fajr and go back to bed, and it won't even take a half an hour. Yes, alhamdulillah, if you're blessed and you go to the house of Allah, you go to the masjid, then it might take a half an hour. But even if it does take half an hour, can we not sacrifice that much? And then we wonder why, where are we going wrong in our lives? You know, when it comes to, I don't know, traveling abroad, going on a holiday, and the flight's at 5 o'clock in the morning, we can get up. We can get up easily. When it comes to, you know, all of a sudden we've been told that you need to get up for work, and you've got to start an early shift, we get up. You know, I see these people that, you know, they drive taxis, and all of a sudden they realize that they can make more money early in the morning, so they get up. But when they weren't driving taxis and they were working during the day, all of a sudden it's hard to get up. Why? Do we find it easy to get up for money? But we find it so hard to get up for the pleasure of Allah. And you need to understand that Salah is not just to please Allah. Salah is a commandment from Allah that we must do. It's obligatory upon us. It's not one of those acts that, you know, you become ultra-religious if you do. It's obligatory on every Muslim, male and female, to perform the Salah. What are our excuses? When it comes to spending in the way of Allah, we can't spend in the way of Allah because, again, Shaitan will tell us, oof, no. You can't manage without that £10. You can't manage without that £50. I remember there was a brother, he used to say to me that, you know, he used to travel in a Madri Kafla every month. And he said to me that, before I go to the masjid on a Friday morning or on a Friday afternoon, sometimes he'd read his Salatul Jummah and then go and join the kafila. He said, my mind would be telling me, you cannot do this. You haven't got time for this. You've got this to do. You've got that to do. What about that? This is going to be pending. That's going to happen. This is going to... And a thousand things would come into my head that, look, if you go on this Madri kafila, then oof, you know you're going to have big problems. You know, this won't get done, that won't get done, he's going to some see, you know, all these things came on my mind. He said, Alhamdulillah, when I put my first foot in the masjid, all of them things got in my mind. Why? Because Shaitan realized now that, look, I've tried, now I can't do it anymore. And he said, look, when I come out of the masjid, it's not as if it's the end of the earth. I spent 3 days in the house of Allah, and it's not the end of the earth. I mean, these are all shaitanic whispers. We're not willing to make them sacrifices. But when it comes to other things, if you're invited to a wedding and you have to, I don't know, travel a couple of hundred miles to the other side of the country and stay there for 2 or 3 days to be part of the wedding function, yeah, you can find time for that. You can even book yourself into a hotel for that. You know, you can go and spend time for that. No problem. Yes. Alhamdulillah, yeah, I'll come for the 3-day wedding functions. Yeah, I'll come for all the... Yeah, I'll spend an extra couple of days with you as well. Why not? We don't meet each other very often. All of a sudden, you can get 3 days, 4 days, 5 days off work, but when it comes traveling the way of Allah, it becomes so hard, doesn't it? So hard. And so this is where we need to look at ourselves. That why are we not willing to make any of these basic sacrifices? And they are basic sacrifices. Getting up for Salatul Fajr, a basic sacrifice. Performing Salatul Zuhr, delaying your lunch, having it a little bit later, basic sacrifice. Salatul Asr, at this time of the year, if I read my Asr, then I'll hit the traffic. Who knows, by reading your Salatul Asr, then the accident that might happen in the traffic, you would have avoided it. Yes, by reading Salatul Maghrib, you might have to delay your evening meal. By reading Salatul Isha, you might not be able to go to bed as early as you wanted to, or you might not be able to go and do your daily activities that you want to do. But you will go to sleep in peace knowing that I have done what my Rabb wants of me. You'll go to peace knowing that I today have pleased my Rabb. And as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking to myself, do I use the word sacrifice? Should I use the word sacrifice? Because we're talking about sacrifice. In essence, we're not really made any sacrifices, have we? By reading our 5 daily prayers, what sacrifices have we made? None really. None really. We've not made any sacrifices. It is our duty, it is our responsibility. And we need to understand this. That is our duty, our responsibility, for us to read our namaz 5 times a day. We'll talk about some of the sacrifices that our pious predecessors have made, but at the same time, we need to look at ourselves. Ask ourselves, where do we stand in all of this? Like I said, the examples that I've given you so far, they're extreme examples. You may say they're extreme examples, but when it comes to us, what are we? Okay, them examples are there. Where are we? Where are we when it comes to sacrifice? Maybe even under the table. Allahu Akbar. News of the channel. We're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the Kalam of the day, inshallah. When we come back, we're going to continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
روشن کر قبر بے کسوں کی اے شمع جمال مصطفی آنکھوں میں چمک کے دل میں آ جا اے شمع جمالِ مصطفی اے سبز گنبد والے منظور دعا کرنا جب نزعہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا جب نزعہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا اے نور خدا آ کر آنکھوں میں سما جانا یا در پہ بلا لینا یا خواب میں آ جانا اے یا خواب میں آ جانا اے پردہ نشین دل کے پردے میں رہا کرنا جب نزعہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا میں قبر اندھیری میں گھبراؤں گا جب تنہا امداد میری کرنے آ جانا رسول اللہ میں قبر اندھیری میں گھبراؤں گا جب تنہا امداد میری کرنے آ جانا رسول اللہ روشن میری تربت کو اے نور خدا کرنا روشن میری تربت کو اے نور خدا کرنا جب نزعہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا مجرم ہوں جہاں بھر کا محشر میں برم رکھنا رسوائے زمانہ ہوں دامن میں چھپا لینا مجرم ہوں جہاں بھر کا محشر میں برم رکھنا رسوائے زمانہ ہوں دامن میں چھپا لینا مقبول یہ عرض میری محبوب خدا کرنا مقبول یہ عرض میری محبوب خدا کرنا جب نزعہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا چہرے سے ضیا پائی ان چاند ستاروں نے اس در سے شفا پائی دکھ درد کے ماروں نے چہرے سے ضیا پائی ان چاند ستاروں نے اس در سے شفا پائی دکھ درد کے ماروں نے آتا ہے انہیں صابر ہر دکھ کی دوا کرنا آتا ہے انہیں صابر ہر دکھ کی دوا کرنا جب نزعہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا اے سبز گنبد والے منظور دعا کرنا جب نزعہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of Monday Channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And like I said, in this special series of programs, we look to our past, we look to yesterday to see what we can learn to make a better today, to make a change today so that we can have a better tomorrow. And today we're talking about the sacrifices of our pious predecessors and the sacrifices that they made. And I think it's important for us to be aware of the rich heritage that we have. And I keep on saying this literally weekly, that as Muslims, we're not aware. We hear the names of some of these people mentioned. We don't know anything about their lives. We don't really know who they are. They don't really know what they did. We hear probably every week in the masjid the name of Ghawse Pak, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah. You hear this. But who is he? You know, how did he live his life? What did he do? You know, where is he from? And, you know, and then when you ask the youngster today where these individuals are from, they won't know. Unfortunately, they don't want to. I don't want to mention some of the answers that I've been given. When I ask people that, you know, even where was the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam born, and some of the answers that I received, I don't even want to mention to you on channel. And so as Muslims, you know, not being aware of our role models, not being aware of those people that we can look up to aspire to be like, is something where we're lacking. I think it's very important upon us to go away and to acquire this knowledge. And alhamdulillah, Dawah Islam is here now, that, you know, you can go to our website, www.dawahislami.net. If you go to the book section, there's hundreds, and yes, I mean actually hundreds of books that are there that cover literally all of these topics. And, you know, we're talking about some booklets that are there. Yes, they're the big books there. They're the 300, the 400, the 500 page books. But there's small books though, there are 30 pages in which you can read a booklet and learn so much. Alhamdulillah, Amir Al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawah Islam, he has also given us some Islamic activities to take to do in our lives on a weekly basis. And one of them is the weekly booklet. He releases a weekly booklet every week. It might be a specific booklet or it might be a portion from a bigger book, and asks us to read it every week. And what happens is that's translated into English language. The audio format in the Urdu is available. The audio format in the English is available. We distribute it amongst ourselves and we read it. And we see that around the world, millions of people are reading that. So, you know, it's so easy in today's day and age to acquire that knowledge. But again, you know, do we? And unfortunately, because knowledge has become readily available, we don't acknowledge it. We don't value it. I remember reading an incident that took place where an individual, he traveled, and it said he traveled from Egypt. And so, you know, he traveled all the way from Egypt to this place, and I can't remember the place, but he traveled from one country to another country. Why? To listen to one hadith. How many of us would travel to listen to one hadith? You know, we travel in the way of Allah for 3 days, and we say, oh, we only learned a bit. We didn't learn a lot. You know, even if you learned a bit, it's a lot more than what you would have learned anyway. So, you know, these are, again, shaitanic whispers that put us away. And nowadays, with the advent of social media, a span of concentration has gone down, and we can't read books and we can't do this, but we need to pull ourselves away from that and acquire the knowledge of the deen. And again, when these stories are passed down, and I've said this before, the stories that are passed down from the Anbiya, which are more than 400 years, you know, in the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about these, in the time of our pious predecessors, 1,000 years, 600 years, 400 years, they've been passed down from generation to generation to generation. Why? Because there's a message there for us, something for us to learn from their lives, the sacrifices that they made. Today I want to quickly mention to you about the sacrifice of Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam, the sacrifice that he made. And it is stated that after the birth of Sayyidina Ismail al-Islam, his father Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam received a revelation to take Sayyidina Hajra radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Ismail al-Islam to a land where Makkah Mukarramah is situated now. So he was instructed by Allah to take his wife and to take their child with him, to a place in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And at that time, it was deserted. And he left them near the sacred Kaaba. At that time, there was neither any population, nor any spring, nor any type of water at that place. Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam placed some dates in a traveling bag and gave water in a pot and then returned without looking back to them. The mother of Sayyidina Ismail, Sayyidina Hajra, Rahmatullah, humbly asked, where are you going leaving us, helpless in this lonely and desolate desert, without anyone knowing us? But Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam did not give any reply to it, nor did he pay any attention to her. Sayyidina Hajra, radiallahu ta'ala, humbly said the same a few times. When she did not get any reply, she said, has Allah Azza wa Jalla commanded you to do it? Has Allah Azza wa Jalla commanded you to do it? And when she received the positive reply that Allah Azza wa Jalla commanded her husband to do this, then she was content. Then she felt satisfied. And then Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam went on his way. You know, you heard that event as well. And you've also heard the fact that she started feeding her child and the child started to struggle. There was not enough there. And so she was going from Safa to Marwa in search of water. And then the child, you know, through the footprint of the child, the Zamzam well came and the water. And we heard that. You've heard that story so many times. And as a result of that water, you know, birds started traveling and people started to come there and a population started to build on it. But think of the sacrifices that were made. Think of the sacrifice that Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam made, taking his wife and his daughter to a deserted place. Why? Because Allah told him to do it. Allah told him to do it. And when his wife heard that Allah told him to do it, she was satisfied. And again, it's that mindset. That if Allah tells us to do something, that should be enough. You know, something comes to my mind, I want to share it with you. There was a person who accepted Islam. And after he accepted Islam, a couple of months later, the blessed month of Ramadan came. And, you know, he was told that he needed to fast, and he was told that this is the time that he needed to fast. A timetable was given to him. So he asked someone, he said, okay, that's fair enough, but why are we fasting? Why do we need to fast? And the person said, oh, well, you know, we fast because it makes you feel the pangs of hunger. And when you feel the pangs of hunger, you think about the blessings that Allah has given you, and you think about those fortunate people around the world that don't have the food that you have. And he went, oh, okay, fair enough. But he wasn't satisfied with the answer, so he went to somebody else. And he said, you know, why do we fast? And he said, oh, the reason why we fast, he said, and you know, this is amazing, he said to him. Science has caught up, he said. Science has caught up and said that, you know, fasting is beneficial for you. There's a scientist in Scandinavia that says it, you know, burns up the toxins, the harmful toxins in your body. So this is why we fast, because it's beneficial to your health and it burns up these toxins. So then, okay. But he wasn't satisfied. He wasn't satisfied. And he went to another person. He said to him, why do we fast in the month of Ramadan? And the person gave him the reply, the reason why we fast in the month of Ramadan is because Allah tells us to fast in the month of Ramadan. He said, that's all I need to know. That's all I need to know. Allah has told me to do it. Labbaik. And again, that mindset that Allah, I mean, this is a minor example when we come to fasting in the month of Ramadan. But that brother accepted the fact. Why? Because Allah told him to do it, and that was enough for him. He didn't need any rhyme or reason or logic or anything. Allah told him to do it. In the same way, this is only a minor sacrifice, fasting in the month of Ramadan. We find that hard. Imagine the sacrifice that Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam made when he was told to leave his wife and his daughter in the desert of Medina, the desert of Makkah. And then, when he was told to sacrifice his only son, the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice he was willing to make. And he was willing to make that sacrifice. He had the knife in his hand, he was willing to make that sacrifice. And at the last moment, Allah Azza wa Jal replaced his son with a ram. And today, every year, we remember the sacrifice and we do our sacrifice of the Qurbani during the month of Zulhajj. But that sacrifice that we're willing to make, again, the question mark, where are we? You know, we make excuses for the month of Ramadan. Oh, you know what? I'm going to be working them long hours. I've got exams in the morning. I've got overtime, I've got this, I've got that, I've got to get up early in the morning, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. You know, do you think that the pious predecessors had it easy? You know, I remember another thing comes to my mind. I remember I was fortunate to visit the blessed city of Medina. And I think it was like May, June time, so it was really, really hot. I remember coming out of my hotel and I could see the Masjid Nabawi. You know, it was, alhamdulillah, it wasn't that far, but it was really hot. It was really hot, and I literally ran to the masjid. I got to the masjid, and you know, by the time I got to the masjid, I'm pouring in sweat. So I get inside the masjid, the AC, and oh, subhanAllah, beautiful AC. But then a thought came to my mind that, you know, this AC's only just come recently. That heat's always been there during the summer months. The people of the past didn't have this that I've got now, this blessing that I have got. And yet they still travel, they still made that journey. You know, when we travel to the sacred lands now, we travel by air, we travel on air-conditioned trains and air-conditioned coaches and air-conditioned cars. You know, how many of us travel on camel or by foot or by ship as they used to travel in the past? The hardship that they made, the sacrifices that they made. And today, you know, where do we stand on this? We can't make them sacrifices. We make excuses for not fasting in the month of Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. We're going to go to a small break now, the final package of the day. Inshallah, when we come back, we're going to continue with the topic of the day. صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
Sayyidina Sufyan bin Uyayna rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi states that mercy descends at the mention of the righteous. We often see that when the Urs or other significant days of pious individuals arrive, Muslims around the world commemorate these pious predecessors, such as the four rightly guided caliphs, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah, and other noble companions, the pure prophetic family, and other pious predecessors alayhim wadridwan. A major objective of commemorating the pious predecessors on their death anniversary is to mention the life example of these great personalities, their piety, their love for the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, accounts of their devoutness, their saintly marvels, and their services to sacred knowledge. Just as this increases people's love and devotion for these pious predecessors, it also augments people's passion for pious deeds. Love for the pious is a source of great felicity. The Prophet ﷺ said, "The al-ma'u ma'a man ahabba," a man will be with the one who he loves. When commemorating the pious predecessors on such occasions, Islamic brothers and sisters also convey the reward of various pious deeds to them, such as the reward for reciting the noble Quran, litanis, salawat, the reward for studying sacred knowledge, the reward for offering nadhar and niyaz, and the reward for traveling in madani qafilas. Whoever receives a gift is obviously pleased. And so when we convey reward to these religious personalities, they too will be pleased, and in return, we will receive blessings in abundance. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us the ability to commemorate the urs of the pious predecessors with good intentions while staying within the boundaries of Islamic law. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Muslim Channel, you're watching yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Inshallah, we're coming towards the end of the program. We mentioned so far the sacrifices that were made by certain individuals. We've not mentioned the sacrifice of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, I request everybody to please read a seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sacrifices that he made, the way that people would harm him or try to harm him, throw rubbish in his route, throw stones at him, put thorns in his route. You know, all of these things that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam endured. You know, when they were excluded and they were sent out of the city of Makkah and he tied stones to his blessed stomach for the pains of hunger. When they went into the battlefields and fought the enemies of Islam. All of these sacrifices the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. I can't even, you know, think about the sacrifices that he made. He made them for us so that the deen of Islam would come to us. We look at the sacrifices of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, when they made the statement that they love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We make this statement. We make them, Ya Allah, Ya Rasulullah, we love you. Ya Rasulullah, we love you. But you see in their case that they made this statement and we were willing to make sacrifices. When the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that your iman cannot be complete until you love me more than yourself, your family, your wealth and everything that you got. When they said it, they meant it and they were made them sacrifices. They made the sacrifices of their wealth. They made the sacrifices of their life. They made all of these sacrifices. And you look at their lives. Many instances are where you see that Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radhiyallahu anhu, he donated camels in the way of Allah. You see the instances where Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiyallahu anhu, he donated half of his wealth in the way of Allah. You see the instances where Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, he donated everything that he had, everything right down to the button of his eyes in the path of Allah. All of these sacrifices that they made. And then you think to yourself, were these not human beings like me and you? Yes, they were. Did they not have families like me and you? Yes, they did. Did they not have needs and wants like me and you? Yes, they did, but still they continue to make these sacrifices. Nowadays, you hear so many people thinking, you know what, I wish I could, you know, go and live in Medina, go and spend my time in Medina, die in Medina, buried in Jannat al-Balqi. Everybody has this wish in their life. And it's a beautiful wish to have, alhamdulillah, no denial of that. What a beautiful blessing for those that have. But think about those companions that had the opportunity. They were staying in the city of Medina. They were living in the city of Medina. And obviously they had a great chance that if they stayed and lived in the city of Medina, then there was a great chance that they would die in the city of Medina. There was a great chance that they would be buried in Jannat al-Baqi if they stayed there. But no, they traveled. They made sacrifices. They traveled in the way of Allah to all around the world so that the deen of Islam could come to us. Allahu Akbar. You want to think of the sacrifice that the Sahaba made, the companions made, how they traveled around the world. Today we go to places around the world and we visit the resting places of the companions of the Prophet of Allah SWT, and we proudly go there and we take pictures there. But think about how they got here. The travels they made, the sacrifices that they made so they could come to this country. Why? To spread the deen of Islam. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Them sacrifices that they were made. And you hear that, you know, the history tells us about the sacrifices that certain companions made. I just mentioned the sacrifices of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu. I just mentioned some of the sacrifices of Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. I mentioned some, just a few of the sacrifices. One sacrifice of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. But all of the companions, all of them made sacrifices. All of the companions offered sacrifices in different ways, but a glorious companion, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, stated that he had a unique manner. And I want to share this with you. It is stated that he once gave 4,000 dinars in charity. 4,000 dinars in charity. 4,000 dinars in charity. Easy to say. Easy to say. But even if a dinar is only £1, giving 4,000 pounds in the way of Allah, and a dinar was more valuable then and is more valuable now than a single pound. Once he gave 40,000 dinars, and dinar, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Muslim channel, is a gold coin, please understand this, in the way of Allah. He once gave 500 horses to the Mujahideen. He once he gave 1,500 camels in the way of Allah. He made a will to give 50,000 dinars in charity at the time of his demise. Once when he fell ill, he made a will to give 1/3 of his wealth in charity. But later on when he recovered, he himself gave that wealth in charity. Once he said to the blessed companions, I will give 400 dinars to each person who took part in the Battle of Badr. Allahu Akbar. Once he gave 150,000 dinars in charity, only in one day. At night when he calculated, he said that all of my wealth is sadqa on the Muhajireen and the Ansar. And even he said, give my kameez to such and such person and give my imama to such and such person. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Jibreel Amin came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and humbly said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sadaqat of Abdul Rahman has been accepted. Give him the news. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Give him the news of being a jannati without any accountability. Allahu Akbar. He freed 30,000 slaves. He presented a garden to the blessed wives of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was later sold for 40,000 dinars. Allahu Akbar. So many instances. So many instances of sacrifices. Where do we stand? Where do we stand? And I can carry on. I can talk to you about the sacrifices of Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of that, the sacrifices that he made. I can talk to you about the sacrifices of certain mubaligh around the world that are making even right now so that the deen of Islam can be spread. Where do we stand? What sacrifices are we making? For us, getting out of bed is so hard. You know, we have this mindset that somebody else is doing it. Somebody else is doing the work of deen, I don't need to do it. Somebody else is doing the work of deen, I don't need to do it. Somebody else is earning money, why do you need to do it? Somebody else is eating food, why do you need to do it? It's having that mindset that, you know, it's something that we need to do. Because the work of deen, making these sacrifices that I'm telling you to do, to fulfill, before you do the work of deen, to fulfill your obligatory acts, it's obligatory upon us. And I've said it many, many times that we need to understand where is our destination. If we carry on in the route that we are now, in the direction that we are going now, the way we are living our life now, you ask yourself, if I continue to live my life like this, where is my abode going to be? Do I have a chance on the Day of Judgment? Or do I have no chance? I remember someone saying once, when it came to the tarbiyat of the children, and this was about 30 years ago now, he said to me that in the Western world, if a parent gives full time to the children have a chance. If they don't give full time to the children, they have no chance. If we make the sacrifices, or at least fulfill the obligatory acts, the farz that is upon us, and then make sacrifices, then inshallah azzawajal, there will be a chance. But I say to you now, if we do not fulfill the obligatory that is upon us, yes, there will be certain people that will be forgiven without accountability. But they are far and few. The majority of us will be held accountable for all of our actions. or in many of our cases, all of our non-actions, all of us spending that time in doing other activities rather than fulfilling the obligatory that is upon us. Spending our time in not performing our salah, spending our time in not fasting in the month of Ramadan, spending our money on something else other than performing the hajj that is farz upon us. We'll be held accountable for that. That day is going to come, my dear Islam brothers and viewers on the channel. There's no denial of that day. That day will come. When? Allah knows. But what have we done to prepare ourselves for that? My dear Islam brothers, Dawah Islam is here in front of you. Please change the direction that your life is going in. Change it to a direction that inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, if I continue in this direction, then Allah will be pleased with me. Make the sacrifices. Try and make sacrifices in your life. We make sacrifices for the dunya. We go away and do a 3-year degree. We go away and get placements. We work away from home. We do all of these things. We go to different countries so that we can have a better dunya. And we know that by going there for 5 years, 10 years, we're going to struggle until we get our citizenship, until we get our PR. We know we're going to struggle. And we're willing to make that struggle. And we don't even know that whether we'll live it long enough to get our PR or our citizenship, but we still make that struggle. But when it comes to making a struggle to please Allah Azza wa Jal, we are in front of you. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madhi Channel, you've been watching yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Stay tuned to Madhi Channel. Keep watching Madhi Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow.